Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and this week I was struck by the confluence of a number of things. Many of them have been building for a long time. But if it's not already, in fact, too late, an admonition from Scripture that gets repeated a number of times and in a number of different ways seems particularly appropriate to remember as the United States and indeed the whole Western world heads literally down the toilet. The words that appear a number of times in the Bible and that I'll use as the title for the show today are "Do not keep silent." And I'll suggest up front that that applies to almost everybody in the formerly free United States today, but particularly some of the ones I'll illustrate as we go through the background here, like doctors, who, in theory at least, are supposed to actually care about their patients' health, but in practice of late are not only lying to them, but outright killing them by injecting them with things that they either knew or should have known are deadly, or at least have the potential to destroy their lives completely. And indeed, in so many cases, they already have. Why are these people not speaking up? How can they not understand what the poison poke is doing and still keep their mouths shut when they ought to be yelling it from the rooftops? There are, thankfully, many good ones, and I've quoted a number of them and their work on this show, but they are far outnumbered by the truly evil that are taking their paycheck, shutting up, and killing people. But it's not just death-dealing doctors, of course, who are keeping their mouths shut when they ought to be speaking up. People that put their hand on a Bible and take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of these United States against enemies that, it turns out, they know darn well are there, and oftentimes are the people they see in the mirror. There are certainly police and people who serve in the military that know what they're being told to do is wrong, and yet, for fear of losing their job or a pension, they keep their mouth shut and don't speak up when they know. And they actually feel it deep within, I'm convinced, that they ought to, that they should not keep silent. So first, briefly, a quick review of some of the many places where that admonition appears, like in Acts chapter 18, where Paul is told in the night by a vision, quote, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For he says, I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city," unquote. And, well, okay, I'll admit, I guess if we are talking about Washington, New York, Los Angeles, or Chicago, arguably, the God of the Bible doesn't have very many people in those cities. Kind of like ancient Sodom, I'd be hard-pressed to believe there could be 10 people in any of them. Maybe not 10 people in all of them combined that are on his team. But still, shouldn't we speak up when we know that by keeping silent, we're allowing people to get killed? After all, the same words appear in Isaiah chapter 62, where, speaking for Yah, the prophet says, "I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of Yahuwah, do not keep silent." And it goes on to say things like, "Prepare the way, build up the highway, lift up a banner for the peoples," and so on. There's a theme here, folks, and it's not just in the prophet Isaiah. In Ezekiel 34, the word of Yahuwah came to the prophet and said, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Say to them, thus says Yahuwah Zevuot." The English translations hide his real name, and you know I don't care for that, and say the Lord God instead. But whether they know his name or not, they still ought to understand what he says. "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Shouldn't they be out feeding the flocks?" And this ought to resonate with some lying doctors who are feeding themselves. "You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you don't feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them." And arguably, folks, you've also injected them with a Zyklon B poke that you know darn well doesn't do anything positive, but it does destroy their immune systems, maybe their fertility, and in far, far too many cases, their lives. So let me say it again. Do not keep silent. You're supposed to be a doctor. You're supposed to be a police officer. You're supposed to be a public servant. Tell people the truth, and do not keep silent when you know that the silence is killing them. And that's also encouraging them to keep silent themselves in that same spirit of fear so that the vicious cycle of carnage can continue. But perhaps the best admonition in Scripture comes from Ezekiel chapter 33. This is the famous story of the watchman on the wall, where the creator of the universe says, "Speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of that land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman." And that metaphor ought to fit for a whole lot of people, folks. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns them, well, then whoever hears the sound of that trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head, because he heard the sound of the trumpet, he didn't take warning, he didn't listen, it cost him his life. But he who takes warning will save his life. But, and here comes the key point today, if the watchman sees that sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, or, for example, if he sees the poison coming in the form of a needle and not only doesn't blow the trumpet, but he sticks it right in the victim, use your own imagination, and the people aren't warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he's taken away in his disobedience, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Let me say it again. When we see evil, folks, we are not supposed to keep silent. We're supposed to warn people about it, blow the shofar, shout it from the rooftops. And if we don't, so listen up, doctors and military and police and so-called public servants, for that matter, anybody who has a job title or an office that indicates others' lives are being placed in your hands, are you doing due diligence? Or, I guess come to think of it, this fits, are you only following orders? Either way, the result is the same, and so is the penalty. So let's really emphasize that point next with what I think is a really poignant story from Technocracy News by Dr. Marty McCary of Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and Dr. Tracy Beth Hoag, an epidemiologist with the Florida Department of Health, who warned that U.S. so-called, get this irony, public health agencies aren't, and this is a real shocker, oh yeah, following the science, say any number of officials who find that they're being silenced for daring to point that out. The calls and text messages that begins are relentless. On the other end are doctors and scientists at the top levels of various health agencies, including the NIH, FDA, and CDC. They're variously frustrated, exasperated, and alarmed about the direction of the agencies to which, up until now at least, they've devoted their careers. Said one, quote, "It's like a horror movie I'm being forced to watch, and I can't close my eyes." This from a senior FDA official who lamented that people are getting bad advice, and we can't say anything, unquote. That particular FDA doctor, they note, was referring to two recent developments inside the agency. First, how, with no solid clinical data, and in fact, folks, it's closer to the exact opposite of that, the agency authorized the COVID Zyklon B poke, not vaccines, for infants and toddlers, including those who already had COVID, which is not just medical malpractice, it's arguably aggravated assault. And second, the fact that just months before that, the FDA bypassed their own external experts to authorize the deadly booster shots for young children. That doctor, says the piece, is hardly alone. At the NIH, doctors and scientists complain to these two authors about low morale and lower staffing. The NIH's Vaccine Research Center, SICK, has had many of its senior scientists leave over the last year, including the director, deputy director, and chief medical officer. Quote, "They have no leadership now. Suddenly there's an enormous number of jobs opening up at the highest level positions," said one NIH scientist. And here comes a disclaimer. The people who spoke to us, they said, agreed only on condition of anonymity, citing fear of, oh yeah, guess what, professional repercussions. Or perhaps, in this environment, worse. The CDC, they say, has experienced a similar exodus. Quote, "There's been a large amount of turnover. Morale is low," said one high-level official at the Center for Death and Control. "Things have become so political, so what are we there for?" Another scientist at the CDC told us, "I used to be proud to tell people I worked at the CDC. Now I'm embarrassed," unquote. And you know what, folks? Sad as that might be, he ought to be. But why are they embarrassed, say the authors? In short, bad science. The longer answer, that the heads of these agencies are using weak or flawed data, or your host will put one more thing in there they won't come right out and say yet, they're lying outright through their damnable, bribable, coercible teeth, to, quote, make critically important public health decisions, and that such decisions are being driven by what's politically palatable to people in Washington or to the Biden regime, and they have a myopic focus on one virus instead of overall health. And again, arguably, all of that is an understatement, but at least it's encouraging to see somebody in the medical profession come right out and admit what everybody knows, and that's why they ought to be so embarrassed, or worse, indicted. Nowhere, though, has this problem been more clear or the stakes higher, say the authors, than when it comes to official public health policy regarding children and COVID. First, they demanded that young children be masked in schools. On this score, the agencies were wrong. And then again, that's too charitable. Compelling studies later found schools that masked children had no different rates of transmission, and for social and linguistic development, children need to see the faces of others. All I can add is, duh, and you would have thought that would have been obvious to anybody with half a brain, which pretty well eliminates most so-called public health officials, at least those that didn't have the good sense to resign 2 years ago. Well, anyway, say the authors, next came school closures. The agencies were wrong again, and catastrophically so. Poor and minority children suffered learning loss with an 11-point drop in math scores alone and a 20% drop in math pass rates. There are dozens of statistics of this kind. And then they ignored natural immunity. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Again, the vast majority of children have already had COVID, even if many of them didn't really even notice the effects. But it's made no difference in the blanket mandates for schools and childhood vaccines. And now, by mandating vaccines and boosters for healthy young people with no strong supporting data, let's be honest, folks, with no actual data at all except for the fact that it kills them, these agencies are only further eroding public trust. You see the problem with this piece? They're on track, but they're understating the evil. Still, though, folks, I'm doing the story because it's a very important piece, and it's better late than never. One CDC scientist, they write, told us about her shame and frustration about what happened to American children during the plandemic. They spelled it wrong. Quote, CDC failed to balance the risks of COVID and other risks that come from closing schools. Mental health exacerbations were obvious early on, and those worsened as the guidance insisted on keeping schools virtual. CDC guidance worsened racial equity for generations to come. It failed this generation of children, unquote. And again, true, but a gross understatement. It's trying to kill them, folks. An official at the FDA put it this way. I can't tell you how many people at the FDA have told me I don't like any of this, but I just need to make it to my retirement, unquote.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Or with the quiet acquiescence of Nazi prison camp guards and public health officials who all just want to make it to retirement. Right now, they say, and this is without question correct, internal critics of these agencies are focused on one issue above all. Why, oh why, did the FDA and the CDC issue strong blanket recommendations for COVID vaccines in children? I'd say the answer is obvious. They want them dead. And the facts, the truth, and science have nothing to do with it. But let's see what the authors say. 3 weeks ago, the CDC vigorously recommended the mRNA COVID Zyklon B injections for 20 million children under the age of 5. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, may her name be forgotten, director of the Center for Death and Control, declared that the mRNA COVID vaccines, sick, should be given to everyone 6 months or older because they are, say it with me, folks, and try not to throw up, safe and effective. The trouble is, this sweeping recommendation was based on, they say, extremely weak, inconclusive data provided by Pfizer and Moderna. And of course, the real truth is, they hid the really damning data that shows just how deadly these things really are, and the other nasty and often permanent side effects. And I'm going to skim over some of this because you've heard it all before, but at least it helps make their case. Start with Pfizer, they say. Using a 3-dose vaccine in 992 children between the ages of 6 months and 5 years, Pfizer found no statistically significant evidence of vaccine efficacy, and so forth and so on. And what they're ignoring is that they did find, and then hid, significant evidence of, well, let's just say, lots, far worse stuff. Some of it having nothing to do with COVID, but certainly having a lot to do with dead kids, sterile kids, and disabled kids. Still, though, referring to the so-called efficacy of Pfizer's vaccine in healthy young children, one high-level CDC official, whose expertise is in the evaluation of clinical data, joked thusly, "You can inject them with it or squirt it in their face, and you'll get the same benefit," unquote. And let's be honest, folks, you're better off squirting it in their face. Unless it blinds them, they probably won't suffer nearly as badly as those who got it stuck into their bodies. Moderna's results, and I won't go through the details, weren't much better. And then there's the matter of how long the vaccine gives so-called protection. At best, we know from data in adults, they say, it's generally a matter of months, but we have no such data for young children. Quote, It seems criminal that we put out the recommendation to give mRNA COVID vaccines to babies without good data. We really don't know what the risks are yet, so why push it so hard, said a CDC physician. Another high-level FDA official felt the same way. Quote, the public has no idea how bad this data really is. It would not pass muster for any other authorization, unquote. And that, folks, says it all. And yet, still, the FDA and CDC pushed it through. This slap in the face of science may explain, say the authors, why only 2% of parents of children under the age of 5 have chosen to inject them with the deadly, damnable stuff. Now, the COVID vaccine, they write, and 40% of parents in rural areas say their pediatricians did not recommend the COVID vaccine for their child. I'm going to ask it, what's wrong with the other 60%? This isn't the first time, though, that COVID vaccine recommendations based on scant evidence have been pushed through these, and I'll say it again, satanically evil, unconstitutional, and downright deadly, did I miss anything? Three-letter agencies. Most recently, back in May, the lack of clinical evidence for booster shots in young people created a stir at the Federal Death Agency. The White House, though, promoted it hard, even before FDA regulators, sick, had even seen any data. Once they saw the data, they weren't impressed. Oh, yeah? It showed no clear benefit against severe disease for people under 40. And it says the FDA's two top vaccine regulators, Dr. Marion Gruber, director of the FDA's vaccine office, and her deputy director, Dr. Philip Krause, quit the agency last year over political pressure to authorize so-called vaccine boosters in young people. After their departure, she wrote scathing commentaries explaining why the data did not support the broad booster authorization, arguing in the WAPO that, quote, the push for boosters for everyone could actually prolong the pandemic, unquote. And, hey, do you think maybe that's the real point? Citing concerns that boosting based on an outdated variant could be, and is intended to be, I keep saying this, folks, this is so blatantly obvious, it's funny how they understate the case. Anyway, pushing these boosters could be, quote, counterproductive, said a CDC scientist to the authors. It felt like we were a political tool. do you think? That insider, they note, went on to explain that he got vaccinated early on, but chose not to get boosted based on the data. Ironically, that same person was unable to go on a trip with a group of parents because proof of being poisoned, boosted, was required. Quote, I asked for someone to show me the data. They said the policy was based on the CDC recommendation, unquote. And one NIH scientist told us there's a silence, an unwillingness for agency scientists to say anything, even though they know that some of what's being said out of the agency is absurd, unquote. I can't emphasize it strongly enough, folks. These people, in keeping silent, are culpable, and they are, in fact, evil. And they deserve the shame that should be heaped upon them. And, of course, when they get to their, let's put it this way, eternal reward, they're going to have a far worse question to answer, which makes these quotes really damning in hindsight. That was a theme we heard over and over again, say the authors. People felt like they couldn't speak freely, even internally within their agencies. Quote, you get labeled based on what you say. If you talk about it, you will suffer, I'm convinced, said an FDA staffer. Another person at that same agency added, if you speak honestly, you get treated differently, unquote. Well, you know what, folks? That's better than what they're doing to those dupes who are being destroyed because of their silence. Write the authors, so they remain quiet, speaking to each other in private or in text groups on Signal. One subject these doctors and scientists feel passionately about, but they feel they cannot bring up, is natural immunity. Why, they wonder, are we insisting on immunizing children who've already got some immunity to the disease due to having contracted COVID? I'll say it again. The answer is obvious. They want them dead. And you people think that these agencies are doing something different than what they really are. As of February, 75% of children in the U.S. already had natural immunity, note the authors, from a prior infection. It could easily be over 90% of children in today's society, given how ubiquitous Omicron has been since then. The CDC's own research shows that natural immunity is better, gee, do you think, than vaccinated immunity, or what they're calling it. And a recent New England Journal of Medicine study from Israel has questioned the benefits of vaccinating previously infected persons.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Mrs. Blue.
I guess.
Many countries have long credited natural immunity towards vaccine mandates, but not the United States. And you know why, folks. There's another agenda. In this, the leaders, sick, of the so-called American health agencies made the U.S. an international outlier in how it treats children. And again, I'll say it, there's an obvious reason. Sweden never offered vaccinations to children under 12. Finland limits COVID vaccines to children under 12 who are at high risk. The Norwegian Institute of Public Health has appropriately stated that, quote, some children may benefit, but previous infection offers as good a protection as the vaccine against reinfection, and so forth and so on. It's statistically impossible, say the authors, for everyone who works inside of our health agency, SICK, to have 100% agreement about such a new and knotty subject. But the fact that there's no public dissent or debate can only be explained by the fact that they are, or at least they feel they are, being muzzled. It's an ancient moral requirement, conclude the authors, of our profession to speak up when we believe questionable treatments are being proposed. It's also good for the public. Imagine, for example, a world in which those scientists who suggested masking for children and school lockdowns were worse for public health were not smeared, but instead debated. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Not in America post-2020. And here's their bottom line. The official public health response to COVID has undermined the public's belief in public health itself. Again, a gross understatement. This is a terrible outcome with potentially disastrous consequences. Yeah, perhaps not as bad, though, as the mass execution of so many people. Back to the two doctors, though. For one thing, because of these sloppy and politicized policies, we run the risk of parents rejecting routine vaccines for their children. You'd have to be stupid at this point to allow these satanic hosts to put anything into your children, folks. Even if we think or know that they're effective, safe, and life-saving. The leaders of the CDC, FDA, and NIH should welcome internal discussion, even dissension, based on the evidence. And silencing physicians, they say, is not following the science. Less absolutism and more humility by the men and women running our public health agencies would go a long way in rebuilding public trust. No, folks, what would rebuild public trust is a few trials followed by executions for mass murder. And nothing short is ever going to make a real difference. Nor should it. This kind of power should never, and in fact really never was, constitutionally anyway, put in these agencies to begin with. And therein lies a big part of the problem. Lord Acton had it right. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And what's being done has nothing to do with fostering public health. And your host can't help but suggest that as people begin to wake up to something that simple, and that obvious, the rest of the pieces, too, ought to begin to fall into place. Hopefully in time for some of them to survive. From there, let's change gears just a bit, but ultimately it's still the same problem. It's just that the people that are committing the acts know darn well what they're doing. But in this case, they're actually trying to punish those who do not keep silent. And send a message, too. Yeah, it's still all about fear. Well, if you've been paying any attention to the scam on Capitol Hill, the new House committee engaged in un-American activities, also known as the J6 liars, you know exactly what we're talking about. And so, by the way, does even Alan Dershowitz, not a guy that I'm a big fan of, but occasionally he gets one more or less right. Appearing on Newsmax TV, the legal icon claimed that the January 6th report will be what we all know it is, a work of fiction. Quote, it's not a real congressional committee, he told Sean Spicer. As you know, every congressional committee that we remember, even the McCarthy committees, had people on the other side who could cross-examine. This is not a real committee, he continued. This is a kangaroo committee. It only has opponents of Donald Trump and all of his advisors. Due process for thee, but not for me, isn't justified, he added. And therefore, continued Dershowitz, I don't think that the January 6th committee's report will have the kind of credibility, now listen to this carefully, the kind of credibility that the 9/11 commission report, for example, had. Unquote, and ironically, folks, we know the 9/11 commission was a bald-faced work of fiction, too, to the point where it even offended the laws of physics. So maybe he's actually right, even if unintentionally. Still, any way you slice it, this is far, far worse. And if you understand the logical connection here, you realize that both of these so-called committee reports were not only works of fiction, but acts of treason to boot, because they're lies in support of a continued warfare on the American people and the rule of law. And all of that, your host will suggest, as we head towards the bottom of the hour break, serves as a pretty good introduction to where I'm going to go when we get back. The January 6th cover-up and the House Unselect Committee concerned with un-American affairs charged with consolidating the coup and shutting down what's left of the Republic, is working really hard to scare people into silence. We'll pick it up there right after this. Welcome back, folks, to the Come Out of Her My People show, segment two. I'm your host, Mark Collins. Today we're talking about a show that I have titled, Do Not Keep Silent. It's a phrase that appears a number of times in the Bible. It's a theme, though, that appears even more than that, because we're told in a number of different ways, in a number of different places, that when people are invested with a certain authority, for example, when the people set a watchman on the wall, well, he's supposed to blow the shofar. He's supposed to warn people when he sees a sword. He sees danger or death coming upon the land. Arguably, I will suggest and have, and that was what we talked about in the first segment, a medical doctor who takes a license from the state, and they used to, they don't anymore anyway, they took an oath to first do no harm and to essentially put the patient first. Well, that's not exactly, no, and that's not even remotely what happens nowadays. The patient is last, if at all, and the real concern is, oh, I better keep my license. I'm worried about my pension, my job, and I certainly don't want to rock the boat or say anything that might cost me, you know, lose my hospital berthing or any of a number of other things both that basically boil down to fear and keeping silent. And as a result, people are dying. Let me throw this story out, kind of get it out of the way in the first couple minutes here, and I'll get back to the other related element. It begins, said a piece from the Gateway Pundit earlier this week. New Zealand doctors have sent a letter to police, how nice of them, asking them pretty please investigate the massive numbers of deaths following the Cyclone B injections that we've been sticking in people's arms. The letter from the New Zealand doctor speaking out with science is now available, and they talk about the burden of shocking numbers of deaths and so forth. And here's the line that it ought to really infuriate people, I think. We appeal again to the police and our MPs to intervene to protect the people, pleaded the letter. You scumbags. Hey, what took you so blankety-blanket long? You've known for a long time, or should have known, that this thing was deadly. Yet you're sticking it in people's arms? Why are you putting up with it? Oh, yeah, you're going to write a letter. Well, you know what, folks? I guess what I'm suggesting today is that beats keeping silent. But essentially, complicity is pretty much evil. I already mentioned the famous line from the concentration camp guards. We were only following orders. That applies to 90% of America since 2020 and the lockdowns. People that put on their masks like good little slaves and essentially participated in the complete destruction of businesses, livelihoods, children's education, and indeed their lives. And now the massive numbers of deaths associated with the biggest bioweapons deployment, arguably in human history. And any so-called doctor worth his salt ought to know this. And oh gee, that's awfully harsh, isn't it, Mark? You're darn right it is, folks. These are people that certain individuals, yeah, maybe they've been duped, put their trust in. They trust their lives to. Oh, you better take that poison poke, Mrs. Pregnant Woman. Yeah, and your mangy little dog, too, your kids. Now, not just preteens, but children down to 6 months old. We've talked about this. I've talked about this. It ought to infuriate us. And the fact that people are keeping silent, the fact that the so-called FDA and CDC are not only not keeping silent, but they're encouraging this kind of thing, tells you. And that was why I did the story last segment. These public health agencies not only are not following the science, they're not following any kind of an oath before God. They seem to hate him. They worship death. What does that leave us? Well, it leaves us in a place where do not keep silence is an imperative. And it goes even beyond that. And, I'm thankful that the New Zealand doctors have finally found a little teeny voice. Better late than never. But it truly ain't much.
Now, I guess from there, I want to throw this quote in. I was going to save it until later, but it certainly fits here. This is a little bit more than keeping silent, but you see where it heads. This is Alexander Solzhenitsyn. You probably heard of the book, The Gulag Archipelago. And he said, this is the most famous line from the whole book, how we burned in the camps, meaning the concentration camps, the gulags, later thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, in other words, every FBI goon, every NSA goon, when they went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive or even had time to say goodbye to his family. Or if during the periods of mass arrest, as for example in Leningrad, or you can fill in the blanks for what's coming here, folks, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people hadn't simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door and at every step of the staircase, but had understood that they had nothing left to lose, and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen or so people with axes, hammers, pokers, or, since they'd been disarmed, of course, whatever else was at hand. The organs, and he capitalizes it, nowadays, again, you can fill in the three-letter agency of your choice, would have quickly suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. If, he says, we just didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. Now, let me pause here. Why? Because the people who knew, the insiders, the doctors, the lawyers, the elected officials, the bureaucrats, you name it, they are legion, literally. They know, they should have known, they are without excuse, they have been keeping silent, and that's exactly what's happened throughout human history. That's the reason why a dumbed-down populace, and that's been done deliberately, has no awareness of the real situation. Think about it, folks. Think about how pervasive this is and how history is, well, as Mark Twain would say, rhyming yet again. As Alexander Solzhenitsyn put it, we purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. You keep silent. You let the sword come upon the land. Their blood says, yeah, I will require at your hand. This is precisely the situation we're in. And again, there really is nothing new under the sun. Okay, when we went to break, I was talking about this piece. It's a long piece, and I can't do the whole thing, but I'll at least summarize some elements of it. He goes into a lot of historic detail, but this is from the Conservative Treehouse in Sundance. It's entitled The J6 Motive. And it's a major tour de force here, why Donald Trump must be removed and the political surveillance of the American citizenry. And that is just one aspect of the really big picture here. He talks about the intelligence community and what he calls the fourth branch of government, how it arose and how it was consolidated under the regime of Barack Hussein, Barry Sabarco, Barry Sotero, Obama. And it involves the DHS, the Office of the DNI, the DOJ, and the FBI, the four pillars of this new institution. And I'll read just a little bit of it. We're going to go very fast through this because the larger point is, hey, where does this take us? It begins this way. In the era shortly after 9/11 and the D.C. swamp, national security apparatus, then instructed by Vice President Dick Cheney, was constructed to preserve what was called continuity of government. In other words, whatever happens, Big Brother's going to maintain its grip on your throats. And simultaneously, he began to view all Americans as potential threats. Now, as we've seen lately, that has now escalated into a warp drive. And the DHS, OCTUNG, Department of Homeland Security, and ODNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, were created specifically for this purpose. And originally, the electronic surveillance system was set up to monitor threats from abroad, you know, Islamic terror and so forth. Well, that's not a big deal now. That was just the excuse. The real threat, folks, are people who can read the Constitution, people who believe there is a God. People believe that there is a higher power and that there are self-evident truths and that the purpose of government, no, it's not to subject you to a terror. It's preserved and that now it sixes. When Kusama ordered to construct the internal mechanisms so that only the opposition be the national security. Now, it's just Fourth Reich. There's hardly any difference between those things. They may call themselves different names. extremes, even progressives. But the bottom line is they're totalitarian to the core. And this national security apparatus, Tricky Dick Nixon and his enemies list pale by comparison. I'll literally be green within the page after page here. That's how it happened, and how the checks and balances that were once part of the Constitution were eliminated by the modern intelligence apparatus, and they created silos of proprietary information, classified information, vaults of information that basically were allowing them to get around any so-called oversight. And that's the key. All this talk about congressional oversight. Well, how much of that have you seen? Answer. Well, none. What we're seeing, in fact, is a congressional witch hunt that's designed to put a stomp, human boot stomping a face forever, anybody that dares to even object to an obviously in-your-face stolen election. We'll teach them. We'll silence them. We'll make an example of them that would make Solzhenitsyn cower. One of the things that they did was carefully select fellow ideological travelers. Of course, the FBI runs the filter of the social, the security clearance process. And look how politicized the agencies have gotten. Understand? What was once required for a top secret clearance or higher, was, you know, have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? No. If you haven't been now, you're not going to. See how it's been changed, turned its head? There is more here, of course. During the Treasury Secretary and DOJ, FBI, and IRS operation, they targeted, in those days, the Tea Party, because there was a midterm shellacking. Does this sound familiar? The Obama bash. You know the names? Mitch McConnell, minority leader, but he's the targeting of the Tea Party. Colleagues were basically smashed to bits. And there are a whole list of them. Dirty Harry and Mitch McConnell saw the Tea Party. Harry Reid was about to lose in Nevada. Arlen Sphincter, Specter, I think is how he claims to spell it, was taken down in Pennsylvania. And so forth and so on. Visibly angry, Mitch McConnell may protect him, okay? This is part of the way that it came to pass. The group of eight, the gang of eight, is mentioned in here, and how it was usurped during the Obama regime. The concept, at least, was, oh, this is a bipartisan committee that will perform this oversight. Well, what happened when they're all on set wings and there is no oversight? Meanwhile, Team 1 and Team 2, first and second term of the Obama regime, usurped any checks and balances and weaponized the intelligence apparatus. And there was a compliant Congress, a complicit Senate Intelligence Committee, and not a single member of the so-called oversight called it out. And now, Term 3 Obama, a.k.a. the puppet in the White House, has come back to about what we're talking about here. One last comment. Of course, one of the elements of this new fascist state, the Fourth Reich, has to do with public-private partnership. And there is quite a bit in here about the NSA and the so-called Five Eyes database. Now, you may remember the general concept was, hell, if the Constitution forbids various agencies from even existing, and they exist anyway, and it forbids them from, you know, surveilling Americans without a warrant and wiretapping phones and presidents, at least elected representatives, elected presidents, well, how do we get around that? Oh, I know. Isn't this clever? We'll have the Brits do it, or the Canadians do it, or down under, the Aussies will do it, and we'll monitor their citizens and break their laws, and then we'll swap the data. Are we clever? It's a public-private partnership, and we'll use private entities sometimes in order to help us continue the cover-up. The modern fourth branch of government, writes Sundance, is only possible because of this, and I'll say it, folks, utterly fascist concept, the public-private partnership with the intelligence apparatus. And they've even made public admission. Now, this is something you may not be aware of. The biggest names in Big Brother tech announced openly in June their partnership with the Five Eyes intelligence network, controlled by NSA. To one, monitor all activity in their platforms. Two, identify, and guess who gets to define this, extremist content. By the way, that means if you read the Bible, yeah, you're talking about extremism to the max there. And look for expressions of DVEs. That's domestic violence extremism. No, that doesn't mean blowing people up, folks. That means tipping your neighbors off to what they intend to do to you.
And they put all of this content into a database where the five eyes from those five contributing co-conspirator countries could all access it. And even feign ignorance if they got caught. But here's the kicker. To Facebook, Twitter, Gulag, and Microsoft are all partnering with the intelligence apparatus. And they even had a press release that goes on to say, the group will use lists from intelligence sharing group Five Eyes, adding URLs and PDFs from more groups, including entities like the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, and so-called neo-Nazis. Well, what we're talking about, folks, are the real Nazis that are doing this and getting away with it. They, of course, define who is and who isn't, and they certainly aren't, domestic extremists. And all of this is determined by the big tech insiders in cooperation with their big brother partners who are exempt from oversight. And this, of course, is the key word, oversight.
There are actually things, remember, that the Constitution says they just shouldn't exist. There is no power in there to create an NSA, an FBI, an IRS, an ATF, especially an ATF. Fill in three letters.
It almost certainly shouldn't exist if, that is, we actually had a Constitution.
But when the intelligence branch wants to conduct surveillance and monitor Americans, they run up against problems. Well, they did, but they've gotten around them because of that Constitution and Bill of Rights thing. They get around those legal limitations by subcontracting the intelligence gathering, the actual data mining, and allowing outside contractors to have access to the central database. The public-private partnership, again, is fascism. And the intelligence branch has worked around these constitutional and unlawful, unconstitutional, we don't need no stinking warrant searches by using resources, at least at one time that weren't in the United States, but now they've gone so far beyond that, they've got their international public-private partners. If a U.S. agency subcontracts to a Canadian group, yeah, you get, aren't we clever? And all of this is now said to be about cracking down on white supremacist and far-right militias. You get the picture, folks. Again, what constitutes far-right? Have you ever read the Constitution? Do you believe that there is a God and that our rights come from? Oh, you're right. One of those DVEs. Here's how Sundance summarizes it, and from here we're going to talk about what we need to understand about all of this. The Obama regime took pre-assembled intelligence weapons, which constitutionally should never have been allowed to be created, and turned those weapons into political tools for radical and fundamental change, actually overthrow of the United States. And the target was the essential fabric of the republic. Now, from there, I want to close with something I've mentioned and alluded to. It's just another indication of what's going on. And if you go back and combine all the pieces here, doctors that are cowed into submission, well, what's the next logical step? You got to cow everybody into submission. This is what Solzhenitsyn was talking about. This is what Adam Schiff for Brains is wanting to do. He's reading his lines, and he put something into the NDAA. It's called House Bill 4350. And basically what it does is several things. Now, I'll give you the summary, and then we'll talk about some of the elements that have been written up in some publications of late. But one of them is this idea of posse comitatus. Remember when we had that? Kind of quaint. Basically said the U.S. military is not to be used in domestic operations. This is why the Constitution prohibited the Army from having any basically charter, any appropriations, anything that would fund them for more than 2 years. Because the founders rightfully said that the standing army is the bane of freedom. And so what has the big brother public-private partnership put in place? Standing armies of private contractors. They've given military weaponry to local police. You name it, folks. They've militarized it. They've weaponized it against the American people. But we saw another real biggie this last week or so when Adam Schiff for Brains, you notice I'm saying that Schiffless just doesn't seem enough. And the truth be told, his brains have been sold out to Satan for a long time. Am I exaggerating? I wish I was. Now, what's funny about this is that the write-ups will all suggest that the amendment, the language that was slid into this abomination by Schiff, text inserted about halfway down into a bill hundreds of pages long, including Chapter 89 called Countering Extremism, Training and Education, Data Collection. Basically, it's about codifying all that we've already been doing so that we can say, see, we're going to do it to you whether you like it or not. And the focus of those who have been, well, with some notable exceptions like Alex Jones, but the focus of most of the people who've seen this and said, oh, this is bad, blow that shofar, are this is about hiding what they're up to. For example, this would allow the defense secretary, there's a misnomer, Austin, to decline any request for materials related to the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. an international debacle, probably the worst
American military disaster in,
well, certainly modern history. Two of their woke policies, vaccine injuries and mandates, anything that they don't want people to know about. Oh, yeah, let's not forget January 6th. Were they or were they not conducting their own insurrection? Well, they don't have to provide that information anymore. Ha ha! You peons, you don't get to see it. Specifically, Section 271 of Title 10 U.S. Code in Section 592F is modified by adding the following at the end.
And I'll cut right to the chase here.
Any evidence provided with the assistance of a member of the armed forces shall not be received in evidence at any trial, hearing, or other proceeding, enter before any court, grand jury, department, officer, agency, blah, 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 blah. In other words, we want to cover it up. We're going to cover it up good, and you're not going to know about it. And by the way, since you're a domestic extremism for even wanting to know about it, guess what we intend to do? Now, again, the point I'm making here is all of this is just the tip of the iceberg. Remember, folks, they already got away with Waco. They murdered six dozen or so people. They did it on national TV. They kept the press nicely away, and they did the executions either inside the burning building that they lied about how that started, or they used Delta Force out behind and FBI snipers, the name Lon Horiuchi ought to ring a bell, to execute anybody that escaped out the back of the building. And they covered that up, and they got away with it. Now, this is the same team, essentially. They're certainly the same satanic forces that were involved. But now what they're doing is codifying it, putting it in place, and locking the door so that it can't be challenged or changed. What 4350 does is remove even a pretense of oversight from the military or from anything that's done on American soil that, well, again, Adolf Hitler would be proud. The Nazis, the Gestapo, the SS, all of these things are now being implemented. And I wish that this was an overstatement. It's not. Americans are being held in ignorance. People who knew or should have known are going along with it because they're scared, they're afraid, and they're thinking to themselves, oh, look and see what they're doing. It's going to get worse. Well, it's intended to get worse. Doctors that allow their patients to be executed, or worse still, that stick a needle in their arm and help, they're not doctors, folks. They're executioners. And, oh, the fact that they were ignorant, I didn't bother to read the studies, but I told the pregnant woman, I wouldn't have told her that 20 years ago because we would have all known better, but I told her, oh, yeah, go ahead and inject it. Oh, you lost the baby? You lost both of them? Oh, it was born with deformities? You're sterile? Oh, well, hey, that's the breaks. They knew or should have known. There is no excuse for not speaking up, for not blowing the shofar of warning. Folks, there are shofars that ought to be blowing trumpets all across this land warning about the evil that is coming down right in plain sight. And what I want to do as we close is just a couple of salient points from Psalm 109. I've actually pointed to this quite a bit lately. This is a Psalm of David. It's encouraging to me that David actually understands that sometimes there are really evil people that need to be cursed, and he says it. And, of course, the words that begin this are the theme of the show today. Do not keep silent, he says, O Elohim of my praise. Now, note, this is David addressing the creator of the universe, telling him, please do not keep silent. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They've spoken against me with a lying tongue. They've also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Does this sound like something you see daily? In return for my love, they're my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. How does David suggest that this should be addressed? He prays. And he prays the following, and I'm going to encourage everyone, pray about this. Think about this, and yeah, if necessary, and you agree, pray it. Set a wicked man over them, the accusers, the evil ones, those who are the servants of the adversary. And let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he's judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. He isn't done. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread from desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has. Strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him. Nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off and the generations following, let their name be blotted out. He goes on to say, but you, O Yahuwah, you deal with me for your namesake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me. And that's the key, folks. Understand that it is about who we serve.
but that if we understand who we serve, one of the things that we'd better learn to do is to speak up when he says, do not keep silent. And Leviticus 19:16 is even more clear. You shall not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. And this, folks, is a verse that really explains what it means. Just two verses later, he says it, to love your neighbor as yourself. We are, in fact, to come out of her. And then we're to do some other things, like speak the truth boldly as we ought to, and stand against the evil that's being done while we can. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.